How could David have so many wives? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. And Pete, thanks for coming in and sharing this broadcast. It's the microphone.
Good
I hope
to be
this
here.
Is an omen of how this broadcast is going to go. But I do appreciate your coming in and taking your time to do this. Guys, we do, on Friday, spend the entire broadcast catching up, and we're not even close to the questions that we get. But we do love to get your questions, but you have to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. with your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always get a response from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't call the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number to ask questions. You can get the magazine, become a part of the Key Life Tate family free, get the booklet free, get the catalog free, make a contribution, but you got to write your questions down. And Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to these questions.
All right. Father, we come to the end of this week grateful again that you have carried us through. We thank you, Father, through the eyes of faith for the things that you have been doing on our behalf, that we know you've done, that some of the things that you've been working on our behalf that we don't even know. And we look forward to seeing what you are doing and what you will do. We praise you. Thank you for being sovereign, omnipotent, holy, righteous, patient with us, gracious always. We honor you. And Lord, we do ask today that you would continue the process of developing us as your children. Thank you that you're willing to invest in developing us every day of our life and that you never hold back from us at all. Lord, we look forward to this weekend to give you praise and honor. And we ask that you would fill our worship directors and pastors and teachers, pastors' wives and their families with your grace and peace, and that, Lord, they would confidently give a message that you have laid on their hearts and that we would respond, and that your kingdom would expand in the lives of so many people that need to hear. We thank you for Key Life and pray that you'd bless it. Bless this ministry. Bless Steve. Continue to use what you started to your honor and glory. And now we commit this time to you as we pray in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know what today is?
It's, no.
It's George Washington's real birthday.
Oh, man.
He was born on the 22nd. That was my mother's birthday. That's how I know. And also because a staff person wrote it on the script sheet. So.
That helps.
That helps always.
Nevertheless, your omnipotence, your omniscience on that point is
quite astounding.
Is
yeah,
astounding.
That's true.
Yes.
Listen, let's get to these questions. This is from Illinois. How could David have so many wives? In the Old Testament, and adultery was forbidden.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, and I think a lot of people find that curious. Adultery was forbidden, is forbidden to this day. I'm interested in what you're going to say. My take on that is that a lot of what these kings did was they bought into the tradition of those around them. Israel did not start out with a monarchy; they started out with leaders. Military leaders and spiritual leaders and priests, judges. And so I think they just bought into the multiplicity of these. Well, of course, you go back to Abraham, huh? Yeah, and he had multiple wives, too. So it was a cultural thing, and they just bought into it.
Do you also, I believe, and I'm on shaky ground here, I know, but I believe that Revelation is progressive.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that anything in the Older Testament is not true. It just means that's not all the truth. And I think increasingly the revelation of God is revealed in Scripture, opens up and centers in and makes clear God's revealed will for mm-hmm. his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the items, because it was so culturally oriented, that became clearer and clearer until you get into the New Testament. It is very clear.
Very clear, yeah.
But
David in particular did it, I think, to, perhaps there were lust problems there.
Political stuff.
But political consolidation by marrying the daughters of Pharaoh and other local kings. He consolidated his empire and created, he needed to be surrounded by friendlies versus adversaries.
Was it adultery?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think people that use this as an excuse within the American context, mm-hmm. To be in a polygamous relationship, I've had men, I'm sure you have, in counseling situations who say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. David did it.
Yeah.
That dog is not going to hunt.
That's right.
The Bible is very clear on those mm-hmm. issues.
And one of the things that shows the incredible nature of the Bible's reliability is that it accurately portrays even its heroes with all of their sins.
That's true. That's true.
All right.
This is an email. Should Christians participate in politics?
Boy, if they don't, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to vote. We need guys that run for office. And we know there's some really good guys, even from Florida and certainly other states, that have made a big impact of both parties, Democrat, Republican, and others.
And, you know, I believe there's some people who are called as Christians to be very political. I think Jim Kennedy is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's not my calling. It's not where I am. Most of my family are Democrats, and I'm a Republican, and I want to stay in my family. So I got to be real careful about that. My brother was a Democratic politician.
Yeah, right.
And I ran his media stuff. And
wasn't he attorney general?
Yeah, no, he's district attorney.
District attorney. Right,
he'd be king of the world had he lived. I just want you to know. But I think that there's some Christians, and maybe less than those who think they are, but there's some Christians who have been called to be a prophetic voice
mm-hmm,
politically.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for those. That's not my ministry. I haven't been called to do that. But some have, and I'm glad that they have.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at these guys with the way media, news shows like Fox and other channels, CNN, they get guys like Gary Bauer and others. They'll get a Jim Dobson, other guys on there to hash out the issues. And we need guys that know the issues.
I'm glad they're doing it.
And that have the calm. I wouldn't have the calm to do that. I'd call people names and say things I shouldn't say.
Well, I'm very political, and you are too. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why we haven't been called.
That's right.
Because you've got to be nice if you're going to do that.
And I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they hold
I can
their
be nice. I don't know if you could.
I could.
Now that I think about it, you have a mean streak.
I do. I really do.
That's why I'm so sweet.
Man.
Yeah, right. Sure. What version of the Bible do you personally use? And then they want to know about the broadcast too.
What do you use?
Well, I'll tell you the version that I use mostly on the broadcast and in my own teaching would be the New King James. And I do that not necessarily because it's the best version, but because it rings well with the old King James of mm-hmm. 1611.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have learned the scriptures from 1611, and I personally did, and so I feel comfortable with that. I have recently discovered, and they sent me one, but I don't get paid for this, but I've just discovered the standard English version.
Hmm. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yet. It's just dynamite. Crossways is published. That's great. America, let me ask you about some versions. Living Bible.
I mean, it's great to read. It's great to read as a commentary, as a paraphrase.
Yeah.
But you need to have a good standard Bible that you read from.
New International.
Yeah, it's English as we speak it today. It's not quite as wooden as, say, the New American Standard.
American Standard.
Yeah, I mean,
American
Standard, probably the truest to the text, except I haven't seen the English Standard Version, which you say is the same thing.
I'm just trying Jerusalem Bible.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I haven't studied deeply in that, but it's good. It's a good translation. What do you think of that one?
Well, I think so too. I think that's a cross-denominational ecumenical kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I understand, though I'm not a scholar, that's one of the really good translations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. New World Translation.
New Jehovah's Witness Bible.
Yeah.
We got some problems there.
Yeah, right. Let me see. King James, 1611.
Well, good, except so many of the words are archaic for us now, and we have more manuscripts, so I'd rather go with the New King James if you're going to stick with the King James.
Yeah. Revised Standard Version.
Revised. That was we were talking about that earlier. It's a great translation.
Well, at the beginning, first one was. I think they've started playing around with it, mm-hmm. so I have some problems with it in some of the later versions. But mm-hmm. the original one was a very good literal translation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at any rate, the question was, what do you use in your own preaching?
You know, I use mostly the NIV, but I study and memorize out of the New American Standard because I think, like you said, you were raised pretty much with the King James. Uh-huh. I was raised with the New American Standard, and the King James, and that's easier for me to memorize out of.
Okay.
But about 45% of the Bibles that are sold out there are New International.
Yeah, it's become the Bible of choice for evangelicals,
yeah.
I think. And I think this...
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Oh, it is. It's very, very English as we speak it.
Yes.
This from Indiana. How will we know one another when we get to heaven?
Man, I hope so.
Well, it depends. I think, of course, we will. And I think the scriptures are very clear about that recognition mm-hmm. in terms of the parabolic teaching, mm-hmm. in terms of many of the references that are made. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the recognition of Elijah and Moses. I think we will.
I was a little facetious. Absolutely, I think we will. And there'll be continuity with the relationships that we have here on earth with believers. Oh, I think that makes heaven pretty attractive.
Yeah. This is from Indiana. How can there be true unity among Christians when we're so divided in terms of denominations and beliefs?
Well, that is a challenge. And I think we need to agree on the essentials. You know, what's that? You know what I'm talking about. In all things, charity. But in the essentials, we've got to have unity.
That's true. And I think there is broad unity among those who belong to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you emphasize denominational or particular theological position to the exclusion of all other Christians and fight for it and die on that hill, we'll never have unity.
That's right.
But there has to be a recognition that we see things differently.
We can hold our biblical perspectives strongly but graciously.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to do.
And Wesley's, which is one of my favorite quotes, come and if thy heart be as my heart, give me thy hand.
Yeah.
And we need to, listen, we're living in a pagan culture where there's a lusty materialistic paganism that out to eat our lunch.
Absolutely.
We cannot afford not to be together.
Well said.
Pete, thanks for coming in. Guys, we're out of here. Give us the call letters whenever you write or call. And one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.